Chapter 18. They flew Jeffrey back to Africa early the next day. The sickle-shaped craft was supersonic, a gauche indulgence when even the fastest AirPods didn't break the sound barrier. Jeffrey was the flyer's only occupant, and for most of the journey he stood at the extravagant curve of the forward window, hand on the railing, Caesar surveying his Rome. Once they were over open water, back into Orgreach and outpacing every other flying thing for kilometers around, Eunice returned.
I've been worried about you. I hope no mischief occurred while I was absent.
I'm capable of taking care of myself, Grandmother.
Well, that's a development, you calling me Grandmother.
It just slipped out.
Evidently.
She fell silent, Jeffrey hoping that was the last she had to say. But after a suitable interval, she continued,
So, what happened down there? Or are you not going to tell me?
We talked about Lin Wei, the friend you duped.
I don't even know of any... Oh, wait. You mentioned her already, didn't you?
What did you actually do on Mercury, Eunice?
Whatever anyone does. Collected a few souvenirs, soaked up the local colour.
He abandoned that line of inquiry, guessing how far it would get him. Lin Wei came to you just before you died.
How do you know?
Because I think I might have met her. She didn't drown at all. Or if she did, it was only a metaphorical drowning, becoming one with the sea, changing name and form. She's a whale now, did you know? Calls herself Arethusa.
Try to make at least some sense.
Ocula found something. You remember Ocula, don't you? Or perhaps that's another part of your past you've conveniently buried. He gave an uninterested shrug. What does it matter? I'll tell you anyway. Lin found evidence of alien intelligence, the mandala structure, and she thought you ought to know about it. Obviously still felt she owed you that, despite whatever it was you did to her. Eunice was standing next to him at the window, with the African coast racing towards them. The off-white wall of the coastal barrage was like a sheer chalk cliff rising from the sea. Fishing boats and pleasure craft slammed by underneath. They were flying at scarcely more than sail height, but even at supersonic speed, the Pan aircraft would have been all but silent.
My involvement with Ocula was no more than peripheral, Eunice's figment said.
Maybe that's what the public record says, but Lin must have known there was more to it than that. Reason she made a point of keeping her side of the bargain by giving you this news. And then, a little while later, you go and die.
And that sequence of events troubles you?
Starting to feel like a bit too much of a coincidence. Lin must have felt the same way, or she wouldn't have told me. She came to your funeral, you realize. That little girl in a red dress, the one none of us knew. It was a Qing proxy of Lin Wei, manifesting as a child. The way she'd have been when the two of you were friends. After a moment, he added, I'm going up to the Winter Palace. If there's anything I need to know about it, now's the time to tell me.
What would I know?
You lived there, Eunice. You created it.
I wish I could help you, Jeffrey. I would if I could.
She turned to face him.
I'll say one thing. Be very careful up there.
He knew something was not quite right as soon as the Pan flyer dropped subsonic and began circling over the study station, selecting its landing site. The Cessna was where he'd left it, pinned like a crucifix to the tawny earth, parked a little distance from it, not too far from the station's triad of stilt-mounted huts. Stood a pair of clean, gleaming AirPods. One was amber, the other a vivid, too bright yellow. He could see figures on the ground coming and going from the huts. People, robots, and golems. Something on the ground, like a foil-wrapped mummy with a robot or golem bent over it. Put me down, he snapped, anywhere. The flyer VTOLed onto the nearest patch of open ground. Jeffrey dropped out of the belly hatch before the landing maneuver was complete, flinging his bag ahead of him. He thumped to the hard-packed earth, pushed himself to his feet, grabbed the bag and started sprinting the remaining distance to the huts. A shadow passed over him as the Pan Flyer returned to the sky. Geoffrey barely registered it.
Geoffrey, Hector said, noticing his approach. We tried calling you, tried chinging. You weren't reachable. Where the hell have you been?
I told you to keep away from here, Geoffrey said. He coughed as dust stirred up by the flyer infiltrated his lungs.
It's Memphis, Lucas said. He was standing next to the mummy-like form lying on the ground.
What?
Geoffrey asked, stupefied.
Memphis was laid back at the household, Hector explained. This morning.
He was flustered, sweat prickling his forehead.
He was expected at a particular time. We were supposed to be meeting him to talk about the household accounts.
No chingbind could be established, Lucas said, repeating himself a moment later. No chingbind could be established. As if this very fact implied the opening up of an entire chasm of existential wrongness, a baleful perversion against the natural order of things.
We came out here straight away, Hector said. His airport. We could see where he'd landed.
Geoffrey pushed Hector back until he was standing next to Lucas, who was staring blankly at the ground. He coughed some more dust from his windpipe. The ocean, the turquoise realm of Tiamat, the night dance of the merpeople, felt like a lovely dream from which he'd just been abruptly woken. No medical diagnosis was needed to tell Geoffrey that Memphis was dead. His body was visible through the protective chrysalis that had been sprayed around him. Through its emerald tint, Memphis's bloodied and crushed form looked like a toy that had been given to a boisterous, vengeful child. He would have been unrecognizable were it not for his signature suit, caked with dirt and blood, but insufficiently so to conceal the familiar pinstriping. One of Memphis's black leather shoes had come off his foot, exposing a dusty sock. The shoe was on the ground, outside the chrysalis.
What happened?
Eunice whispered, appearing next to him.
Not now. Of all times, not now.
She kept looking at the body, saying nothing. The robotic form that had been stooped over the chrysalis rose to its full bipedal height. It was one of the household's usual proxies, Geoffrey saw, Giacometti thin with holes and gaps in its limbs, torso, and head assembly.
There's nothing you could have done,
the proxy stated with a smooth Senegalese accent.
Judging by these injuries, he was killed very quickly. There will have to be a full medical examination, of course, given the accidental nature of his death. But I doubt there will be any surprises. You say his body was found near elephants?
He was working with them, Lucas said, glancing at Geoffrey.
Elephants didn't do this, Geoffrey said.
Hector placed a hand on his shoulder.
I know it will be hard for you to accept.
Geoffrey nearly wrenched his cousin's hand off.
It wasn't the elephants. These are crush injuries,
the proxy said hesitantly, as if it didn't want to get dragged into a family dispute. And this wound in his abdomen, it is consistent with a tusk injury.
Seen a lot of those, have you? Geoffrey asked. I thought accidents were supposed to be rare these days.
I've seen wounds like this in the textbooks, the proxy replied.
The doctor's only trying to assist us, Hector said, placatingly.
He's right, Eunice said, in little more than a murmur. It's not the proxy's fault, or the fault of the physician on the other end.
But Geoffrey still couldn't accept the evidence of his senses, or the honest testimony of the medical expert.
Elephants didn't do this, he said again, only softer this time, as if it was himself he was trying to convince.
He should not have come out here alone at his age, Hector said.
He was only 100, Lucas pointed out.
He's not been looking strong to me lately. This was a risk he should never have taken. What was he doing out here, Geoffrey?
Hector had his hands on his hips.
This was your work, not his.
In a monotone, Geoffrey said, Memphis always helped me.
You should not have asked it of him, Lucas said. He had enough to be doing at the household.
You imposed on his good nature.
Geoffrey took a swing at him, but missed. His own momentum sent him spinning off balance. He would have fallen had Hector not reached out to steady him.
This isn't the time for recriminations, Hector said,
directing the comment at his brother.
This is upsetting for all of us.
Get a grip on yourself, Eunice admonished, her arms folded disapprovingly. If the mech was any thicker, it would have dropped you like a stone just for thinking violence.
Geoffrey gave a last cough. There was dust in his lungs, up his nose, in his watering eyes.
He was just doing routine work for me, he said in a wheeze as Hector relinquished his grip. While I was away.
You still haven't told us where you were, Lucas said.
Because it's none of your fucking business, cousin. The proxy swiveled its head, reminding them that it was still present, still being chinged. I've called for a scrambulance. The body will be taken to the hospital in Mombasa. They'll do what they can, but I should tell you now, there's little prospect for revival.
Hector nodded gravely.
Thank you for your honesty, Doctor.
If I'd been able to get to him sooner, the proxy shook its head. I do not understand why he allowed this to happen.
Allowed? Geoffrey asked.
In a place this dangerous, Lucas said, looking around. He should not have been on his own. The mechanism can't be all places at all times. It's not God. A watchdog should have come out with him in case he got into difficulties. He pointed at the encased form.
Look, he's not even wearing a bracelet. What was he supposed to do if a snake bit him, or he sprained his ankle and couldn't walk back to the airport?
He knew what he was doing, Geoffrey said.
Must have been startled, Hector said.
That's the only explanation. The elephant was on him before he had a chance to do anything about it.
I doubt very much he suffered, the doctor said. As you say, if he had any inkling that he was in peril, we would have found a dead elephant near his body, Lucas said. Or dead elephants.
Eunice looked Geoffrey in the eye, then absented herself.